Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Nun Aleph. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Nun Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. Kufa Merav, Ein Machzike B'Nechsei Ish. One cannot achieve a chazaka in the property of an Eishes Ish. And therefore, if somebody attempts to make such a chazaka and says, I have a chazaka, the chazaka is going to be, and she didn't say anything, why was she not moichah? It will not be considered a valid claim. The Yonah Goyla, throughout Shasta, the Yonah Goyla, as the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin teaches us, were Shmuel and Karna. Amru, their opinion is that machzikin, that we can achieve a chazaka in the property of an Eishes. Amar Rav, and Rav says, Halach could the Yonah Goyla, that the Halach is indeed like the Yonah Goyla, and if she wasn't Meichah, they will have a Chazakah. The question here is that, why about a husband and a wife? So the Ramah explains, if she started eating from those assets while her husband was alive, and then for 3 years after her husband passed away, she continued eating. So the halach is that the chazaka would be a valid chazaka. But if she wasn't on the property for 3 years after her husband passed away, she can't have a chazaka. Amalei Rav Kahana v'Rav Asi l'Rav. So Rav Kahana and Rav Asi said to Rav, Hodabei Mishmamosei, that you retract, and the halach being that she doesn't have to be moicha. Amalei Mustabrami. All I said was that when I said halakha dayani goyla, I want man k'Rav Yosef, like we learned in our previous year, that where Rav Yosef taught us that, as we just said, that there was some chazaka while the husband was alive, and 3 years after he passed away. So since the person could say, who has a chazaka on this property, could say, I bought it from the woman, so he has a migui, and because of that migui, the halacha is that under those circumstances, she would have a chazaka can be achieved. We learned further, that if a married woman, ate from the property of her husband, so the halacha will be that she will be able. She doesn't achieve a chazaka because the fact that she's eating doesn't prove anything. The husband is allowing his wife to have what to eat. It doesn't in any way indicate that she, it doesn't necessarily indicate in any way that she owns the property. Pshita, says the Gemara, what is the chiddush of the halacha that's just being taught? Kivan, the Islam Zayna, since she as a wife is entitled to get supported from her husband, so when we see her eating, so we'll say that she's not eating from this property because she is the owner of the property. We'll say she's eating from this property because she's eating the support that she's entitled to. Mezayna dehu dekachla, answers the Gemara leitzricha. It's speaking about a situation, the yichala ara chritel mezayna, that the husband designated for her other property from which to have a mezaynus. So since she's getting her mezaynus from other property, so then the man can't say, maybe we would think that there's no argument, well, she's eating it from mezaynus, because she's not, she has mezaynus from elsewhere. Teaches us the Mishnah, the Gemara, that husband and wives have a different relationship. And the husband allows the wife to eat from the property, even if it's not the property that's being used for her support. The Rishonim say a different teretz. We just discussed in our shir that if a wife says to her husband, "Ainin zaynus v'ainin aysa, I'm not going to. I decline support, and because I decline support, you don't have to support me, and I don't have to give you over my earnings. That is acceptable." So we could have said that that's the case here as well, that she is not getting, that she's a wife that not getting supported. So that's how some Rishonim suggest the Gemara could have answered. Other Rishonim say that that isn't really a good explanation, because even if a wife gives up her right to mezainis, all that means when a wife gives up her right to mezainis is that the wife is saying that I don't need the support. I'll manage without the support. But what it does not mean is that he no longer has an obligation to support her. He certainly continues to have the obligation to support her. So just by her saying that, it wouldn't be enough. The only reason why over here it's acceptable is because the only reason why here it's acceptable is because it's not that she gave it up. She's being supported, and therefore we would think that if she's eating from other fields, she should be allowed to have a chazaka. Teaches us the Gemara that she does not have a chazaka. We learned in the Mishnah, as we've been discussing, Ein li'isha chazaka b'nechse bala. The fact that she's eating from her property doesn't have her get a chazaka. Ha, raya. But it would be a raya that if she will eat, if she has a shtar to back herself up, so then of course, if she has a shtar to back herself up, then she should be able to prevail. But ask the Gemara, Lema, even if she has a shtar to back herself up, ask the Gemara, Lema, why can't the husband say, I never really meant to sell it to her? The only reason I went through this sale was only Legluye Zuzi Hudabayi. What I was trying to accomplish was to see if she had money. So I went through this game of selling her property, and like that, I'll see that she has money. Shmamina, from the fact that our Mishnah says that a wife can buy property from a husband and it will be considered a valid sale. Hamoicha Sadal Ishta. From here we learn that if somebody sells a property to the wife, the halach is that kansa, it's going to be considered a valid sale. V'lo yamrinan, and we don't let him say, l'gluya zuzi hu d'bayi, that all I was trying to do was trying to figure out she has money. Says the Gemara, loy. If there was a sale document, suggest the Gemara, the sale document would be invalid. Ema, what the Mishnah means to teach us, haraya yesh, that she could achieve, she could have a raya. When would it be a raya? Not if it was a sale document. If it was a document of sale, then the husband could say that I was just trying to see if she has assets. And the way I was trying to accomplish that was going through the charade of selling her property. Here, if there was a shtar matana, if it was a gift, by a gift, obviously, that would not work. And therefore, under those circumstances, if it was a gift document, she would be able to prevail in the Din Torah if she presents that document. The Ritva asks, why doesn't the Gemara give a different teretz? We've discussed in our shurim that there are different types of assets that the wife may have. She may have mos tamunim, money that she has hidden, and mosh ena tamunim. So if she bought it with money that was hidden, so there the husband maybe could have an argument that I just wanted to see if she has money, and this is the way I was able to accomplish it. But if she bought it with mos she'ena tamunim, money that she wasn't hiding, so the husband wouldn't be able to say that the reason I sold it to her and went through this whole charade was to see if she has money. This money she wasn't having, says the Gemara, says the Ritva, it's an excellent question. The Gemara is assuming that we're talking about all types of assets, both mos tamunim and mos ena tamunim, and that's why the Gemara couldn't offer this teretz. The Chazanish, so we have here a machloikus. Is there a concept of gluy zuzi hu d'bayi, that a husband is anxious to try to figure out if his wife has money or doesn't have money. What does that? What's the basis of the machlokes? The first mandama held lo yamin l'gluzi hu d'boy, and now we're saying we do. Says the Chazon Ish, the husband, the opinion that holds that a husband could say l'gluzi zuzi hu d'boy, says that it's not common that a wife should have money. And if a wife does have money, that's a proof that's really her husband's money. And he goes on, and that opinion goes on to say, the reason Chazal had this concern is because Chazal knew that women are likely to try to steal money. And therefore, Chazal were extremely concerned about such circumstances. And because they were very concerned about such circumstances, they instituted that the husband has the concern of Gula Zuzah had the boy. And if she can't independently prove that this money is hers, we don't accept what she says. The other opinion holds that a husband and a wife don't live that way. That there should be a marriage over here. That the husband is trying to trick his wife to find out does she have money? Does she not have money? That is really not the way a husband and a wife are supposed to live. And since that's not the way a husband and a wife are supposed to live, we don't have to be concerned that that's what he's trying to do. Amalei Rav Nachman Rav Huna. So says the Gemara, Rav Nachman said to Rav Huna, "L'have a mar gabon b'orto t'chuma. You weren't with us last night in a place called t'chuma." A number of explanations. One pshat that I saw is that they used to make the Beis Medrash, where they learned, located at the end of t'chum Shabbos, so that there should be as many people able to attend the Beis Medrash. Another pshat was that what happened was that he actually spent the Shabbos in a place that was outside the Tchum. And because he spent the Shabbos in a place that was outside the Tchum, that's why he couldn't come to hear what was discussed in the Beis Medrash. So again, Amalei Rav Nachman Rav Huna, "L'have amar gabon b'orto de tchuma, dar minan maliyam ma'alsa." That there a wonderful shiur was said. Amalei, so he said to Rav Huna, "My maliyam ma'alsa." What was the wonderful? Rav Huna asked him. So what was the wonderful shiur that was said? So he said, "Hamoich sadal ishta." The halacha is that if somebody sells property to his wife, konsa, it's considered a valid sale. V'loy amrinan, and we don't assume l'gluya zuzu hu d'boy, that the intention was that he just tried to see if she has illegal money. And as the Ritva explains, that if she did buy it, the assumption is that the money that she used is money that she legally had. And therefore, the sale is a valid sale, and we're not concerned that the husband was just trying to figure out anything else. Amalei, so Rav Huna said to Rav Nachman, "Pshita, of course, if not for the case, dal zuzi mehochi. Even if we'll consider that the money belongs to him, tikni b'shtara. Why can't she buy the property, but just with a shtar? The halacha is that as we're about to say, that you could buy a property just with a shtar. So the fact that the shtar is here, that's the way it's a kinyan." And the Rashba makes a very important point. But the Rashba says that the shtar is presumably only a shtar raya. If the shtar is only a shtar raya, as the Rashba, so that doesn't make a kinyan. So says the Rashba, from here we see that even a shtar raya, even a shtar raya is considered a valid, even a shtar raya is considered a valid shtar through which a kinyan is made. Miloy tanan, because says the Gemara quotes the Mishnah Masechet Kedushin, nechasim sheyesh lemachrayis, property, it's as we often discuss, real estate is called nechasim sheyesh lemachrayis, because if somebody, there's always a lien on the mortgage, and they're always going to be here, metatlin could be destroyed, but karka remains forever, are the way you can make a kinyan, niknin, bekasa b'shtar, or b'chazaka. So even if we'll say that the money which was used to affect the kinyan is not her money, why is the kinyan not a valid kinyan? Because of the shtar. So from here we say that if a husband did a shtar mecher, did a shtar with his wife on a piece of property, even if we hold of the concept that we are discussing in our shiur today, the concept of legluye zuze, that the money's just, the transaction is being done just that the husband should see if his wife has assets, here we don't have to be concerned for legluye zuze who the boy by shtar. And the question that the Rishonim is asked, why not? Even if the actual kinyan is affected through a shtar, asked the Rishonim, but of course he's going to want to get paid for this property, and then why don't we say, legluye zuze who the boy? Says the Rashbam, that when the kinyan is done through kesef, there we could say the concept of legluye zuze who the boy. But if the kinyan was made as a shtar, even if the shtar, as we just said, is there just for the husband to have a way of determining if she has kesef, but the shtar is going to be considered like a shtar matana. And like the Gemara said a moment ago, by shtar matana, then there's no concept of a glui zuzihu the boy. The Rabban says that if his entire intention was a glui zuzihu, and he wrote the shtar just as a method to determine if legluye zuze, just as a method to determine if she has money. So as we've discussed in our Masechta, whenever a shtar is written in a way that the goal of the writing of the shtar is not really to be considered a valid shtar, and it's only being done just to find out, just to being done for different purposes, he should have been Maisa Maidah. Why was he not Maisa Maidah on the shtar? So it's a raya that the shtar was a good shtar. The Rashba says that in those days, if you had a shtar in kesef, you always had the kesef given first. So if it was legluye zuze, the kesef always is given first. Where was the kesef over here? The fact that there is no kesef over here is a raya that the fact that there's no kesef over here is a raya that it's not legluye zuze, it's just a good old fashioned it's a good old fashioned with kinyan shtar. The Gemara spoke about chazaka. It's a halacha that we're going to be discussing extensively. Chazaka means that you actually do something. We're going to see posh pshat is to improve the field. Here, that's another way of showing ownership, taking ownership of a field. Amalei, so Rav Nachum said to Rav Huna, V'lav etmalo, haven't we learned regarding this Mishnah? Amal Shmuel, lo yishan ala b'shtar matana, av b'shtar mecher, lo yikana ad sheitin ademeo. So what are you going to say, that there was a shtar mecher? He says the shtar mecher is not effective unless money is transferred, and there was no... And therefore, again, we could say that it was that the point of what he did was legluye zuza. V'lam moisar hamnuna says Rav Huna to Rav Nachman, hasn't Rav Hamnuna asked a question on what Shmuel said? B'shtar, because the Bryce over there explains how is there a kinyan shtar? B'shtar ketzad, how do we affect the kinyan shtar? Kosel of Alanayor al-Kheris. if you wrote on a piece of paper, on a piece of broken earthenware, abishem b'shava pruta, even if that actual document on which you wrote doesn't have a shava pruta, he wrote sadi mechuralach, sadi mesunalach, hareza mesura umesuna. So we see that you don't have to have any money transferred for shtar mecher to be effective. Says the Gemara, v'lav hu meisulav hu mefaraklav. Hasn't Rav Hamnuna that asked the question of Shmuel answered the question himself? But meichasadav name rasei. In a situation where somebody's selling a property because it's very poor quality, because the person selling the property, because it's such poor quality, he wants to have the sale effective immediately. But if not for that, so there, a shtar is going to be effective even without mos. So now we could understand everything. Under normal circumstances, to be effective, kinyan by property, you have to have money. Only in a situation where he's anxious to sell the property because it's such poor quality, is there a different halacha. We learn that one can write a shtar mechira gabe cheres, even though it's something throughout Shas that the Gemara says is something that could be forged. And says Tosfos, why can we be lenient? Why can we write a shtar mechira on something that could be forged? So Tosfos says, there's the machloikas that we have in the Masechta Gittin that we learn very often. The machloikas Reb Elezer and Reb Meir is edich simakarti, are the people who sign on the document will give the document validity, or edim esirakarti, the people who see the transference of the shtar. And Reb Elezer Masechta Gittin daf chav beis amud beis is the mandam that says edim esirakarti. So even though the shtar was written on material that could be forged, it doesn't make a difference because those aren't really the edim that make the shtar into the shtar. But indeed, according to Rameya, that hold edich simakarti, the halacha will be that the shtar cannot be written on material that could be forged. But then Tosfos suggests, and other Rishonim suggest the same, that there is an exception. If kosa b'ksav yodai, if the shtar was written with the handwriting of the person who's involved, so there we don't need edim. And therefore, even if it's written on a shtar, on a piece of cheres, it would be, even if it's written on a piece of cheres, it would be considered a valid shtar. Tosfos also discusses that the halacha by shtar mechira, that when the Gemara says here that it's not shava pruta, it's a valid shtar, because that if it would be a valid shtar, if it would be shava pruta, then it's going to be a kinyan kesef. Says Tosfos, that's not understandable. Because explains Tosfos, by shtar kedushin, the halacha is that the husband who's buying the wife, so to speak, the husband gives the woman the shtar. And there's a chiddush ein boi shava pruta, that even though it's not kedushe kesef, the halacha, he's not giving her something that's worth a pruta, it's still a valid kedushin because it's kedusha shtar. But here, it's not dependent on the buyer giving the seller or the seller giving the buyer the shtar. The halacha is, as long as there's a shtar exchanged, that's enough. So why does the Gemara think that there's a chiddush, that it should be shava pruta? So the Ramban suggests that we would think that a piece of paper that doesn't have a shava pruta is not to be considered a shtar, even though it's not working as a kinyan kesef. Teaches us the Gemara that, they based this on a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. The pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, achatisi a sefer hamikna. So we think that to be considered a sefer, it has to be a sefer, it has to be something of significance. And this is not considered something of significance. Teaches us the Gemara that it's valid, that it's still valid, even though it's not a shava pruta. Ravashi has another way of answering that the Braisa says that the shtar is valid, and Shmuel said that it's not valid. So he says the Braisa is not speaking about a shtar macher, and the Braisa that says that sadi mechurloch, sadi mechunaloch, is not talking about a mechira, because a mechira shtar is not valid. You have to have money transferred. But what happened over here was, b'matana bikish litnala, he gave it to her as a gift. Something was given as a gift. V'lama kasu le b'losh mechira. But so if that's what happened, what did they write a losh mechira? K'de liyapis koichai. In other words, to give the best of both worlds. And the way I saw the Rishonim explain, we learned very extensively in Masechta Baba Metzia that when you sell a property to someone else, there's always the issue of a bar mitzvah. That the person who you sold the property to, if you have a neighbor who is next to the property you sold, he has first rights to the property. Because the Torah Kedoshah says, Vasisa hayoshev atoiv. And vasisa hayoshev atoiv means to do what's right and sell it to your neighbor versus selling it to someone else. But as we learned, that halacha only applies by a mechira. Because if I'm selling it, so sell it to your neighbor versus to somebody else. If I'm giving it, because your neighbor could buy property elsewhere. When we're giving it as a gift, you can't say, well, get your gift somewhere else. A gift is something that you get the gift as is. So here he wanted to have it as a gift to avoid the issue of Vasisa Yoshev Atoiv, to avoid the problem of Astam Mecher, of Bametra. But on the hand, there he also wanted to accomplish the strength of a Mechira. Because halacha is that when you sell something to somebody else, we said achrayis to soifer, and the assumption is that the husband meant to give it, if there's a mortgage on it and it's taken, there'll be recourse back to you. So that's why he wrote it both as a mechira. He wrote it both as a mechira and a matana, but really here we're talking about a shtar matana. But Shmuel, when he said that by mechira, the shtar alone won't work, you have to have kesef, that has not been refuted. Meisvei, so the Gemara goes back to the discussion that we began our shiur with today. Is there a concept of legluya zuzah hamechavin? Meisvei asked the Gemara, the Braisa says, loved min eved, if somebody borrowed money from his Eved Kanani, v'shichroi, and then he frees his Eved Kanani. Or a husband borrowed money, mina'isha, from his wife, v'girsha, and then he divorced her, ela of kulum. The Eved cannot make any claim to his former owner, and the wife not a former wife. Mai, because, so says the Gemara, mai tama, isn't the reason, lab shum damrinan, because we say that that he didn't really mean to owe his wife or owe his money, Evan money. All he was trying to accomplish was they wanted to see if they have money that he doesn't know about. So we see that as the Gemara is considered a legitimate concept. And says the Gemara, Shani Hassam, there he borrowed money. And we've learned previously in our Masechta that people don't want to owe money. A person doesn't want to own money. So there we could say that certainly his point was to be able just to find out if they have money, but not to make himself obligated. His goal certainly was not to make himself obligated to owe them money, because he certainly doesn't want to owe anybody money. And certainly not somebody who is his Eved or former Eved or former wife. So Agamara just taught us that under certain circumstances, when it's a situation of Eved Loivelish Malva, we certainly don't want to owe money. Nobody wants to be an Eved Loivelish Malva. The Pasuk says, Kishamaya Esav as Divrei Aviv, when Esav heard that Yaakov had given a brach, that Yitzchak had given a brach to Yaakov, the Yitzchak Tzaka Gedoyla Ma'ara Ad Ma'oid, the Yoimel Aviv, Borcheni Gam Oni Avi. What does this mean? That Esav heard that Yaakov had received this wonderful bracha, that all the brachas in the world were given to Yaakov. So Esav was very upset that he knew that anything he'll get will really belong to Yaakov Avinu. And if he knew if everything he gets is really mortgaged to Yaakov Avinu, he will always be a Eved Loiva Lishmalva. And he didn't want to end up in life and being in a place of being an Eved Loiva Lishmalva. There's a discussion from the Kedushas Levi. The Kedushas Levi discusses individuals that are under the influence of the Yetzer Hara. And he says that one of the signs that of a person who's on the wrong track is somebody who has azus panim, somebody who doesn't act with edelkeit, somebody who isn't refined. The Gemara Masechta Nedarim Daf Chaf Amud Aleph says, Misha ein lo boishes panim, somebody who doesn't have that boishes panim, v'yiduish lo amdu raglei avosav al har Sinai. Acting with proper midos, acting in a refined manner, is what is expected of every one of us. Somebody who, as he says, that what we see nowadays, that if somebody owes somebody else money, that what we see is that not only does the person who is owed the money come and pressure the person who owes him the money to pay him, which is a violation of a law that we discussed in Masechta Matzil Yigosh, but also it causes that the person who owes the money is he embarrasses him in public. So this person is doing so many different averis. He's over the law of Laigosh. He's over amab mpnei chaveroi. But sometimes it goes the other way. Somebody owes somebody else money. So it's bad enough that you owe money that you're not paying and you're over the lav of Loiva Rosh of Loiva Shalim. You're the one that acts in a disrespectful way. And then he says, what we find therefore is that he's doing the opposite of what our Gemara says. Our Gemara keeps on repeating that somebody who owes somebody else money feels embarrassed. Eved Loiva Lishmalva. And he's turning the table. And what he's making, and of course he says the worst of this is that in the future, people are not going to want to lend money to anyone else because they're going to be concerned that he's never going to pay back. So he says that our Gemara keeps on speaking about a world of Eved Loiva Lishmalva, where when somebody owes somebody else money, he's embarrassed that he owes the money, he wants to pay back. And the world has changed. He says, that's Pshat, Chutzpah Yaske, that we live in a world of Chutzpah. Our Gemara has spoken a number of times in our Shia today about the concept of a Gelulei Zuzei. Sometimes people don't do things not for the honest, obvious purpose. The Chashuk Echemet discusses a situation where somebody wanted to have his mother invited for the Seder. And this person's wife did not have such a great relationship with his wife. This person's wife did not have such a great relationship with her mother-in-law. And she wasn't anxious to have her mother-in-law at the Seder. Her husband said that if you will agree, then I will buy you this beautiful gift. And based on that, she agreed. And then, after Yontif, and she had a mother-in-law with all the things, He says, I didn't really mean it. And the question is, the Gemara often speaks about Lagluy Zuzehu de Boy. I just did it because I had an ulterior motive. And the halacha is, the question is, what is the halacha? And the Shulchan Aruch, when it speaks about the halacha we've been speaking in our shir, says, how moicha sada lishtoi, if somebody sells a wife to a property to his wife, like Hansa, the sale is not a valid sale. The Shulchan Aruch paskens that we do follow the concept of Lagluy Zuzei. And the question is, when do we follow this concept? Or when do we not follow that concept? Because he quotes the Chazon Ish that we quoted earlier in our shiur. It's certainly not the way for a husband and a wife to live, that a husband should always be testing his wife, what really is the situation here. So it seems that the Chazon Ish is saying that only in a case where the husband has reason to accuse his wife of having money that he doesn't know anything about, and she's not revealing what, when, where about the money, that's when we say Legluya Zuzihu Deboyi, and it's accepted in halacha. But to use the concept of Legluya Zuzihu Deboyi indiscriminately, and that you could say whatever you want and then come up with excuse, doesn't seem to be acceptable. Sholach Lei Rav Huna Bar Oven. Rav Huna Bar Oven sent the following halacha to his Talmidim and the Beis Medrash. A Meichas Ad Lishta Kansa. If somebody sells a property to his wife, it's a valid sale. Ubel Eichel Peiris. But the husband will be entitled to eat the Peiris because they're considered Nechsi Malug. And as we often say in our Shiurim, the halacha of Nechsi Malug that are owned by a wife is that those properties are owned by the wife, but the husband is entitled to the peiris. Baram, Rabbi Abba Ravu of a Kol Gedolei Ador Amru, Batana Bikesh Litna Lo, he wanted to give it to her as a gift. And when a husband gives a wife of a gift, then it's not considered Nechse Melog, and he isn't entitled to the peiris. So if that's the question, V'lama Kosel L'Shem Mecher, why does the document say that it was a Mecher? As we said before, that you make it into a mechira, that if the property was taken away from her, then if the property was taken away from her, she would have recourse, as is the halacha by karka. Meisvei asked the Gemara, Braisa says, love him and ever v'shichro, the Braisa that we just learned, that if somebody borrowed money from his ever kanani, and then he freed him, and then he borrowed money from his wife, and then he divorced her. He doesn't have to pay. My tama isn't the reason. So we see that the sale to wife should not be considered a valid sale because of the concept of a glui zuzu who the boy answers the Gemara. Shani hasam. That's not a good proof because the husband doesn't want to owe money to his wife. The loy majvi inus. Eved loiva lish malva. A husband never. Nobody ever wants to owe money. So we could say that certainly that he didn't borrow it because he wanted to pay back. He borrowed it just to be able to figure out if they have money. Amarav hamoich sada lishtoi. If somebody sells property to his wife, have a baal loicha peiris. Kansa, it's a valid sale. It's considered nichs malug, but he eats the peiris. B'matana, but he gives it to her as a gift. Then the halacha is kansa, it becomes her property. Ve'ein ein oichel peiris, because there's a concept which we're going to discuss, we're going to speak again. Hamoicher hamnois matana, if somebody gives a gift, bein yofu noise. He gives it in a very generous fashion. Included in giving it to her in a generous fashion is that she has it completely and that he's not entitled to the peiris. Even when he sold it, certainly when he gave it to a gift, kansa, it becomes her, vein al oichel peiris, and the husband's not, doesn't eat peiris. And the reason is, explains the Rashbam, because even though we see that he sold it to her, the assumption is that he really gave it to her as a gift. And the only reason he wrote the mechira is because he wanted to give it a strength that a mechira comes with, about achrayis nechasim. Aber Rav Chisda uvdik Rav Elazar. Rav Chisda wants paskin like Rav Elazar that even when he sold it to her, the property is completely hers, and he's not even entitled to payris. Amalei Rabban Ukva Rav Nechemya b'nei bantse the Rav. Rav Chisda, Shavakmar Ravarve the Kazutre, are you ignoring the opinion of Rav and you're following the opinion of Rabbi Lazar, who was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, who came after Rav? So why are you following the opinion of Rabbi Lazar versus Rav? Amalei, to which Rav Chisda responded, Ano Nami Kravarve Avdi. My opinion is based on the opinion of great people, the Chiosa Ravin. When Ravin came from Yisrael, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Echadzeh, whether it was a Matana or Mechira, a husband that sells property to his wife, or gives property to his wife, Kansop becomes completely hers, the Ein Habal Oichel Peiris. Amar Rava. So Rava concludes, Hilchasa, Hamaychasa de Lishta, Loi Kansa, it doesn't become hers, the Habal Oichel Peiris. And the husband's entitled to eat Peiris. But Matana, if he gave it to her gift, but ask the Gemara, Tarti, the first halacha that he said is self-contradictory. If you say that the sale is not a valid sale, so what does he mean to say Baloichel Peiris? Baloichel Peiris means to say that the sale is a valid sale, but the husband still eats Peiris. If the sale is not a sale altogether, what's pshat that the Baloichel Peiris? Answers the Gemara Loikasha, something that we discussed at the beginning of this year. Kam b'muas t'munim, if the money that was used by the woman, by the wife, to buy the property was money that the husband was not aware of. So there we say that certainly the Allah, that certainly his intention was just l'glui zuzi, and since his intention was l'glui zuzi, that therefore the halacha is that the sale is not a sale. Kan b'mosh ein etmum. But if the money that was used is money that he knew about, so he can't use the excuse of l'glui zuzei. If he can't use the excuse of l'glui zuzei, so the sale is a valid sale. But we still say that the sale was because it was a sale, and it becomes her nuchsim elug, to which he is entitled to the payers. In a situation where the property was sold, and we're not sure if the money she used to buy it were ma'as t'munim or not, so what is the halacha? The Yad Raman Ritva say that it becomes the wife's opinion to bring a raya that it was not ma'as t'munim. And the Yad Ramah explains this. One reason he gives is because we have a rule, cheskes karka b'cheskes ba'aloi medes. We have the status, we always follow the marakama, and the husband is the marakama. Moreover, that it's impossible to prove, it's difficult for the husband to prove if it was ma'as t'munim or not. How are the eidim that the husband's supposed to bring able to say that? For a wife to prove it, it's much easier. Domer of Yehuda, b'mas t'munim. If money that was used by the wife to buy it was mas t'munim, like answer, she doesn't become the owner of that property. We say l'glui zuzi the bar, but mas ain't t'munim. Then we say kansa, because he can't say l'glui mas who the boy. What happens, discusses the Beis Shmuel, if she says that this is money that she received, but they were given to her, amanash ein lebal rishus ba. She was given money with the stipulation that a husband has no right to that money. What will be the halacha in that situation? So suggest the Beis Shmuel that if it was so, and will the husband have a right to eat from that property? So suggest the Beis Shmuel that he wouldn't be allowed to eat it. Because if the money was given to her with the express intention, she ain't lebal rishus ba, that her husband should have no right to that money, Included in that would be that he's not entitled to the Peiros either.